So before the Dharma talk, I'd like to thank everyone for coming. Thank everyone for supporting this community and this path, being part of this community, this Sangha. Please come as much as you can. Please support us as much as you can in all the different ways that there are to support. And thank you, and thank you, and thank you. No attainment. So no attainment doesn't mean you're not going to get somewhere, but to set up an attainment and to continue to, as you practice on the mundane path, it works. Intend to get a degree in sociology, you can do that. There are markers, there are steps, there are, it's a relative path and it's valuable. We need those. We're not trying to step into some kind of mountaintop where we all we do is contemplate whatever we're contemplating. But we can do both. You can actually have a life and have a family. I very much encourage that. Not easy to be a fully ordained monk and raise children. So the reason I say it this way is so that you, or me, or anyone, do not confuse the mundane path for the supramundane or the spiritual path. It's not that they don't overlap and all that also. Pardon my breathing, having a little trouble. But the important thing on the spiritual path is to just intend. You can have a goal, and the goal I would recommend is to see the truth yourself. You might have to look at a lot of lies in your own mind stream, a lot of cover-ups, a lot of attempts to get a result, a spiritual result, because we try to live up to some kind of attainment or some kind of idea, because there are all kinds of books out there on how to do this, and sutras and interpretations of sutras. There's, I just looked at one recently where someone is saying that you can't attain enlightenment unless you do a lot of physical exercise, unless you do yoga. But even the Buddha did this and did that, and it was of the warrior clan, which you perhaps know if you have some historical understanding of the whole thing. But the difficulty comes in attaching, continuing to look for progress, for a relative situation, a relative progress. Ego eats that up, and it gets bigger and bigger thinking muscles as you go along, judging, evaluating, doing pretty good. I've noticed that I'm doing this, I'm not doing that anymore. Kind of some kind of progress. Well, you're in for it if you're on this path, especially if you're around me. Not because I'm so enlightened or wonderful. Might be the other way around. Maybe everything I say is inappropriate, incorrect. You decide. Don't make a decision, but look at it, receive it. If it doesn't work, then don't do it. Don't look this way. Look another way. Look someplace else. But the way it looks here, if you are interested, and if you're in this room or on this on the Zoom screen, you probably are somewhat interested, is to see it yourself. See what this is yourself. This initially, this can sound quite a bit like I'm empowering your ego or empowering your self-centeredness, and to some extent that's going to come up. But if there's a strong awareness practice, it's very hard for the ego to get very much oxygen out of just being observed, 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 observed. It wants to be congratulated or criticized. Congratulated or explained. Passion, that's one of the three poisons. Or shut down, stopped. I can't be so egotistical. Oh, that's just egotistical of me. I have little stories around that. All that does is fuel the ego. If you feel otherwise, you think otherwise, it looks different to you, then I'm right here. So what happens if we have an idea of how this should look, how it's supposed to look, what happens if we continue to look for results? It's very subtle. Instead of just receive what arises without any comment. And that way you will not get snagged by the believability of the thought patterns, because if you're snagged by those, it could go in any number of directions where you just believe what you're feeling, thinking, or doing, or whatever you're involved in. And if you believe that, you're conventionally that way, that's described as being out of control, at the mercy of your belief in this illusion as being real. And so therefore you are what? Deluded by the illusion. You don't see that it's an illusion. You believe it. Seems that the sitting practice of meditation, and maybe you should do some yoga. Seems like the sitting practice of meditation, and maybe you should do other kinds of practices. Very possible. I'm not eliminating any of that. I'm just saying to come in and say, you can't attain enlightenment unless. Well, I'm saying it right now, and you can quote me if you ever talk about this again. There is no attainment. Not conventionally. Something occurs. It is a kind of occurrence, but there's no one that is, no person it's occurring to. This is why if you go in that direction, you feel terrible. You can, if there are uninvestigated and observed aspects of your consciousness that you think are real, and you think that those feelings, those emotions, and so on are real, the ego mind, the self-centered mind, will make hay. It will use those things to keep, because there's a threat. And what is the threat? That there isn't anyone. Never was. This whole situation of this body mind, how you look in the mirror, how someone else looks in their mirror or in your mirror or in your presence, it's unreal. Would that there would be a better word than just unreal. That helps a lot. Now I know everything's unreal. Now what am I supposed to do? It's that kind of reaction that quite often shows up. And should that show up? Probably. You get frustrated with it. We get frustrated with samsara. It's painful if you've been doing this for years and years and years and you don't see any conventional progress. But the kind of thing that is occurring, don't believe a word I'm saying. Don't disrespect me or the Buddha's Dharma by believing anything. And don't disbelieve anything. And don't ignore anything. That's all three of them. If you can do that, it's a non-doing. It's not something you do so much as it's you just stop attaching to fulfillment. So by observing what comes and goes in the mind without accepting this, rejecting that, shutting down on that, by just observing it, you could say objectively, eventually the fixation starts to run out of steam, because what is happening under the radar of ego, the ego can't see that. But something, but to continue to return to what is arising in the mind stream and just observe that. Just watch the negative thoughts, the positive thoughts, the neutral thoughts, and all the other, the nuance between all of those. Observe. Fish in a pond, clouds in the sky, observe. Make no comment. People teach this differently, completely differently. That you're here, and if this, I'm not saying it makes sense particularly, but what I am endeavoring to get you to do is one thing. Turn around and look at your mind. That's it. You don't have to believe in Buddhism. You don't have to believe what I say. I don't have to be your formal teacher. Observe. It's awareness of this. You can do this. I don't care if you have a job. or you're busy 8 hours a day, whatever it may be, or maybe more, you can find some time, 20 minutes, sit down, sit symmetrical, do what you can't do with your body, what you can't really do with your mind so much. Maybe a little, you can chant a mantra perhaps. Maybe there's other forms of visualization you could do, and there are practices that will take you in that direction. But the fundamental understanding, based on doing this for a long time, fundamental understanding is brought about through sit symmetrical, observe, and eventually see that the body mind are not two different things. You can do that. It's possible. Very possible. Please let me have some questions. Bien.
Bien, Bowen. How do attachments help maintain this illusion of form?
Attachment?
Yeah.
Well, it's another way of saying attachment. It's a reference point. And it's going to show up with there are different words that would describe your particular version or some particular version of being stuck on something. And it creates the illusion of dependability, like opinions, judgments, ideas, structures, whole systems. It just gives us some way to have the consciousness be stuck in some particular area that reifies our opinions, our judgments of things. We have a go-to. Well, it's this. Oh, well, it's that. More about it if you have, I'm missing what you're asking about.
Yeah, I think I want to talk about the maintenance. When you say don't maintain, and are you saying that we have the freedom to drop our attachments?
No, you can't drop anything. You may think you've dropped it. You may brag about to yourself, finally, I'm glad I finally dropped that. No, you probably pushed it away, which just creates a circle. It will come back because you, by dropping it, you gave it some credential that it's something that exists and it hasn't seen that it's an illusion. If it's an illusion, it can crawl right up your back like a spider. But it's unreal. It may still feel like a spider. You may have to deal with the fear of that. You may have to deal with the apparent reality of that, but to try to drop things, even though Dogen said in the 13th century, drop off body and mind. I don't think he meant literally drop anything, but to see that it is insubstantial. It has no self-validating quality to it, like the body is real or the mind is real. More about it, we have it.
Bien, Bowen. So what happens when we look right into the dead center of that form?
Dead mice. That just came out. I don't know why. I like mice, but a lot of them are dead. When you look right into the center of the form, if you're actually looking at it, you're actually receiving it, which I think that's what you're referring to in this question, you won't see anything. If you see something, just keep looking. Go ahead and wrinkle your brow. More, is that, give me the question instead of wrinkling your brow.
Bien, Bowen, you say when we look right into the dense center of it, if that's what we're doing, we'll see nothing. Is that also seeing nothing here at the same time?
It's the same, yes, thank you. Subject, object come apart or collapse. Their otherness, their separation collapse. You could say into each other, yet even that is extra. More?
No. Thank you.
Kelsey Bowen, does seeing nothing mean seeing emptiness or?
Well, if it's really empty, then you wouldn't see anything. I mean, you could see the concept of emptiness. Traditionally, that's taught as empty of what you thought it was. So that's the starting point for emptiness. It's the path. There's a ground of suffering or confusion or dismay, disappointment. And then there's the path of being aware of what that is, right down to what we call the substrate of it, go as deep as you can into it, and it will be empty, empty, empty. That would be your conclusion about it. That gives you some kind of a conclusion about what you're looking at, that it's not what you thought it was. It's empty what you thought it was. And then there's more to do. More.
Kelsey Bowing, so does seeing nothing also mean the absence of thoughts and feelings? And
it could, or you could, or the thoughts that come up could be even more intense. But since you're no longer trying to push them away, you're no longer trying to validate them, you're no longer ignoring them, you see that they're unreal and they can get more intense, but you're not concerned about that because the fundamental insight is unreal.
Kelsey Bowing, does seeing nothing, is it the same as maybe seeing but not being attached to what you're seeing?
Good. Yes. The lack of attachment is getting closer to seeing that it's unreal. It's like seeing it's unreal. You haven't really concluded that yet. You start concluding it, then it takes on another kind of form. It will, as ego is, in all of the teachings, through all of the teachers, going back to as far as you can go, the ego is notorious for being unreal and being right in your face in some form or another. It's just always going to be there. But it's unreal. So if you can see that it's unreal, it doesn't matter if your ego is sitting right in your lap yelling in your ear. And it may be, depending on what karma, what causes and conditions brought you into this realm of the human beings in the first place, that may still need to yammer away the rest of this physical lifetime. But if you realize what this is, then you don't mind that. You don't mind the confusion arising in the mind. You're no longer at war with yourself. You're no longer at peace with yourself. You're not looking for a credential or a state of mind. You're not looking for anything because you have realized that it is, everything is mind. More. And it may be difficult.
Even Bowing, you had mentioned this collapse of subject-object. What is that? What is the collapse?
Well, it's a way of talking about it. It's, we have just a belief. It's if you have a belief about something, you don't inspect it. You're just kind of run by that. We just believe that if you were sitting here, you would believe that you were sitting here. If you're sitting over there, you believe you're sitting over there. To actually be in this milieu, we call this illusion, or I'm going to call it that, the polarity is gone. So you don't see someone else, nor do you see yourself necessarily, although that kind of shows up. The other shows up, and it's an illusion, and your own ideas, your own feeling of being over there, that shows up. But it's ordinary. It's not some special feeling like, oh my gosh, everywhere I look, some kind of mystical insight into things. This is I have a word for that, and that's bullshit. Don't be taken away by dream states or kensho or insight. They will come and go, but that which never appears, never shows up, can't go away. Realize that you can do this. I'm here to encourage you to do this. And it can get very, very difficult. Will it? Maybe not. Maybe your path is quite smooth. Maybe you have some bumps and lumps, but maybe your particular way of avoiding the fundamental reality of what this is just different than the person sitting next to you. And it will be quite a bit, but you can turn your awareness to the mind stream, sit down, hold still, all the senses open, sit symmetrical, and watch the discrepancy come and go, come and go, looking for a self, looking for someone that feels like you, that feeling that's showing up in you, or that thought pattern, looking for someone that will validate that. Further questions? Sir?
Yeah, Kabowing. I have a question on YouTube from Susanna Erdy. How to accept the unacceptable change that happens with a parent who has dementia?
I can see why you would ask me. I've been accused of that, actually. That, whatever it was you said. So could you repeat it?
How to, Ilka Bowing, Susanna says, how to accept the unacceptable change that happens with a parent who has dementia.
You don't have to accept anything. Just be with them. Don't accept anything. I'll say it more bluntly. Don't accept anything. That also doesn't mean just let everything be like it is. You might need to move into something and push on something, move into something and pull. You might need to do something about it, but have that understanding come out of your awareness, not out of your analysis and your thought process of who's right, who's wrong, what I should do, what I shouldn't do, how to accept it, how to accept it. Don't haunt yourself with that kind of bull. Don't do it. Since I can't see this person, I'm looking at you. Is that okay? Yeah. It's harder than that, but it's actually easier than that if you can just be with them. I mean, if you're, I don't know what the situation is, but hold their hand, look at them, talk at them, talk to them, or listen to what they have to say about what is right there, which is, that's probably where they're at. If they're functioning with consciousness losing its, losing the illusion of past and future and so on, memory coming apart, not such a bad thing if they're in the company of someone who loves them. You don't have to do anything. This is, it's natural. People come apart. Not saying there aren't. Maybe some medications that could change that or reverse it. Of course there are. I can respond to more of that if you have it, if you're more specific. But I would say all you have to do is be with them. Hang out. Sit on the couch. Look at them. Smile at them.
Bowing. Tom McCauley has a question about Tom Bowing. Is attaching to fulfillment an obstacle on the spiritual path, even when we see how we keep enjoying the attachment to fulfillment?
That's how it's done, through awareness. Don't correct anything. Please, don't correct anything. But be responsible. This is the ability to respond. This is not about blame. No one is the cause of anything. If you think you're the cause, this is a very subtle form of ego. Dementia got me there. I forgot what I was talking about. Did I answer the question? So paraphrase it. What was the answer? Your eyes got really big. Now they're smaller. Can you remember?
I'm trying to remember the question now. Attaching to fulfillment, just observing the attaching to fulfillment.
Yes. Just look at it, please. You don't have to fight with anything. You can't win. And if you do win, it rotates it right back into a success, failure, success, failure, success, failure, samsara. It's you're reifying this illusion as being something solid and real, and it is not. You can't make any mistakes. Don't believe a word I'm saying. There's no way you can make a mistake. But you can see what this is. As the Dzogchen masters called it the great perfection, because they saw it and they saw, you can't fix this. You can't do anything. There's nothing to fix. If you try to fix something, that's participating in the illusion, reifying, strengthening, giving muscles to that. And of course, the ego mind, the self-centered mind, the narcissistic mind, the seventh consciousness in the Yogacara tradition is referred to that part of consciousness as paranoid. And liberate yourself. You can do it. I'll help you, with your permission. I might just badger you. Stop being stupid. How's that? It's always interesting when I say something like that to see those who laugh and those who don't. And I don't miss much. Go ahead.
When you're bowing, how will we know if we're liberated?
You won't. If you know, then there's still somebody there who's collecting your credential, albeit very subtle, under the table. You won't know. You can't. It's not. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. It's the end of something that never started. It was an illusion in the first place, so you won't know. But you're liberated, and you're for the rest of your life. Your life has always been choiceless because you've been pulled along by karma without even knowing it, thinking you're making decisions. And now you realize you've never made a decision. There never was a person. You're here, 100% here, sometimes called a present moment, and that also is hyperbole. There is no present moment. It's just this. It isn't a moment, because if it's a moment, that means there's another moment, and there isn't one. Don't believe me, but when I say that, if it sounds like you have no idea what I'm talking about, that is it. Because that's the ego wanting something, I have to have this, I have to know more about this. If you feel that way, that indicates to me as a teacher, as a Dharma teacher, face the wall.
Kelsey bowing. What are we doing here, asking questions, if there is no knowing? Is it just a big ego trip?
I could respond to that, but I'm going to ask somebody to respond to that. Shoto, respond to her question.
I don't know why we're here.
That's his response. He just spent 30 days looking at the wall by himself, other than that one mouse that came in.
The question about dementia and acceptance really hit a nerve. I'm trying to, it was acceptance, and that's the way I tried to describe it, that allowed me to be, just be with my mother. And maybe it's the wrong word, but not fighting it and just being there.
That sounds good. And you know, people will use different words and it looks like they're describing something different and they're really describing the same thing. Other people will use the same words. Oh yeah, 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 I agree. I totally agree with that. And they're doing something totally different. They're not agreeing with you at all. But language can get us really tangled up. I can just listen to you talk for a moment and say, that's what I'm talking about. You might use different words, but I would cut into or disagree with that word acceptance, because that implies that you've solidified whatever that is, and now you're working with your solidity of it rather than actual acceptance is painful without the word acceptance, to just be with all things as the third peer precepts states it. Be with all things. If you are, then there's no end point. There's no end. There's no enlightenment. There's no, oh, finally, I finally liberated myself. It's a constant presence of whatever arises. And you are with that. You're not going to separate yourself from anything anymore by accepting it. You're not going to separate yourself by rejecting it or ignoring it. So it will feel very much like no accomplishment. No, what was the title of the talk?
No attainment.
No attainment. You can't attain anything. There isn't anyone left. You've actually seen through this. You're liberated. And somebody might come to you and present in this way or that way. You have no idea how you're going to respond to them. They could present to you in an outlandish way where the only thing you can do choicelessly, not making a choice, not evaluating, is to punch them in the nose. I say it that way not because that's going to happen very often, right, Dalshan?
Right?
Cool.
I didn't see you just a minute ago. You were hiding behind this gentleman here.
Yeah, it's a perfect mask.
Huh? the perfect mask.
Mask.
Mask. The perfect mask. That mother person's head. Wait a minute. Something weird about that. Using another person's head as a... That's like the... Who is the guy that ran through the woods with a pumpkin?
Ichabod.
Yeah. Ichabod. Okay. Okay, I don't want to get into that. That's another talk.
Golly.
More, Michael?
I think I just want to think about it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Don't think too much.
Left.
Yes.
When you're bowing in very, what seem to be serious situations, how can we bring humor into it?
See the space between the thoughts and between the emotions. There's a lot of space there. Sometimes when the emotion starts to grab us, so it feels like something's got us by the throat. You can't create space for that. You have to see the space in this. The space is there.
As it's occurring.
Huh?
As it's occurring.
As it's occurring. But you will not be able to do that more than likely unless you spend a lot of time looking at the wall, training the mind to see what moves to, you could say, even say developing, not indifference, but an observing quality of the consciousness. It's just watching the thoughts, the emotions, the memories come and go. That's why I said, go ahead and daydream. Do whatever you want to do. The important thing is hold still without being rigid and then watch what continues to move. And that, for one person, may be all kinds of daydreams and planning, remembering, reminiscing. Just observe. Everything is an object of meditation, if in the way I understand Chikin Tazen.
When you're bowing, sometimes when I'm on the cushion, there are repetitive, violent themes, like I want to kill somebody. Is that karma just washing itself through?
It would be a good way to say it. It's just, you know, none of that belongs to you. Even your thought about anything, any mundane things, making coffee in the morning, those thoughts about that don't belong to a self. There's no one there doing that. Coffee is just being made. And so same thing, as it's just thought. So you're sitting meditation and you start to think about a particular person that you think it would be good if their life came to an end. Don't interrupt that with your judgment of, I shouldn't think that. Just receive it. You're not that important. Not important at all. There is no individual, even though there is this hair, this body position, these robes that you sewed and the robes that everyone else has. That's why we do this. That's why we have these forms. That's why we sew robes, so that we can slowly move away from the almost automatic attachment that we have to me and my stuff, my ideas, so we move into an area that's a little bit more neutral. But all thoughts are just thoughts, whether they're thoughts of making toast or they're thoughts of murdering someone. They are thoughts. That doesn't mean you come to a conclusion about it. You see it yourself. And you also see there's nothing producing that thought. There's no one producing those thoughts. More?
And it certainly seems like there's someone producing those thoughts.
That's a conclusion. And you can look at it without knowing what it is.
Is that considered attainment then?
What?
A conclusion?
That whole area of looking for progress or trying to get ahead or having difficult emotions or feelings and seeing that you just can't, they're still there after all this time or all this hard work, and being waterlogged by that, it's like something has just been filled with water. It's stuck, you can't get it out of there. You have to see that it's unreal. If you don't see that it's unreal, then you want to kill somebody. You want revenge, or you want, you know, we all do some form of that. Everyone's doing, so the way I know about it is I do it. I still do it. It comes and goes. Important thing is not to get rid of things. It's to see that it's unreal. That way you actually can receive anything. There isn't anything. You can receive the biggest dragon and the smallest mouse. You just receive. And there, but there's no receiver. There's no one keeping track or say, ah, yeah, finally I was able to receive that. Well, there isn't anyone. It's just receiving. Consciousness only. Return to your true nature, which is not particularly, it doesn't particularly have a center to it, nor a fringe. More.
And your bowing isn't seeing that this is unreal, a conclusion, bowing?
No.
What is it?
It's not a conclusion. It's just consciousness. There's nothing over here concluding that, because it's just consciousness. It's worse than you thought. You don't get anything. You get no cookie. You don't get a feeling of being enlightened. It's worse than that. And it's better because you're liberated. And when I say liberated, I mean it's everything that you thought was something is gone. And there's just this. And you can't count this because it's not separate. You only can count something if there are separate things. If everywhere you look, you just see this. You don't even see another person. But if that person thinks there's another person, then you meet them right where they're at. You talk to them all day about their ideas, their opinions, their beliefs, and whatever they're. And if they're a meditator, you're encouraging them to keep, you encourage them to continue to look and look with the idea that there's a possibility that they will see themselves what this is. And the war, all the war, interior, the interior judgment and opinion and validation or rejection comes to an end. And it comes to an end both inside, outside, because those are no longer separate. The subject and the object have collapsed. It's just a way of talking about it. There's no noise. It won't be an occurrence. It will not occur. It will not be a happening. It's just this. So that sound you just heard was this hand and that hand, another kind of duality. Which one's the real hand? The one with the finger. Wait a minute. See, you can't do it. You cannot figure it out when it starts to look like this side black and this side white are not two separate things. You come together like this. Sacred world. It's a completely sacred world. No matter how violent you get, no matter how depressed you get, and no matter, you have to see it. If you don't see it, then you just get really big elbows and you bump into everything. Is there a further question? We have a few minutes left. Yes. Let me respond to Ondo first, and then I'll come back to you. Go ahead.
Ondo Bowing, you said earlier to do this out of awareness, not out of your thought process.
Did I?
What does that look like on the path?
Whatever arises, no comment. Whatever goes away, no comment. But you're just receiving. It shows up, you're just receiving it. It goes away, you watch it go away. It turns this way, it turns that. No matter what happens, it's a very radical, minimal way of working with the consciousness.
Well, so if we have some, I can't remember what you were talking or responding to, but a situation in that, I just cannot remember, but anyways, how do we know, or how do we choose,
how do we chew on what?
How do we do something out of awareness and not out of the thought process?
Observe the thoughts come and go, and you're possibly pushing them away or trying not to think that or trying to think around that and change that. Just watch that come and go and come and go. just it's awareness. It's not fixing, getting rid of thoughts, just awareness. Eventually, the space in which the thoughts occur starts to become primary. This is just a relative way of describing it. This doesn't happen at all. I'm lying to you right now. But I have to lie to you to encourage you to look at this. And so eventually there's no one observing anything, and there's nothing being observed. It's consciousness only. And also another lie. Anytime you open your mouth, it's relative truth. And if you're looking at what this is, and you function as a teacher, and you have a question like the one that you just had, then endeavor to use the relative structure to point to that which cannot be described or seen or understood relatively. More.
Well, Divine, so when you say no attainment,
yes,
there is a different way of seeing things.
Yes.
And so no attainment is just to not take credit for it, but yet something will, our insight will change.
So there is a shift, but we can't focus on that because you can't find it. But there is a shift. But the shift comes from just slowing down on pushing, slowing down on grasping, and slowing down on ignoring by watching the pushing, pulling, grasping, ignoring, without adding to it, without comment, that shouldn't be that way, or without comment, I need to do more of that, without having that interior dialogue with yourself about what you should do, what you shouldn't do, and so on. Eventually that does run, just kind of runs out of steam, runs out of gas, runs out of nutrition to keep going as the illusion of other who is getting somewhere or not, someone who's failing. Ego will make use of the failure part also to keep that credential of me going. I'm failing. Nobody likes me. Everybody likes me. I'm the most famous person in the world. We all see examples of that, positive, negative, neutral, everywhere. So the fundamental understanding is not even an understanding. It goes beyond that, and yet you're still eating your breakfast. You still are in the illusion, but you no longer are differentiating between this and that. This doesn't mean that when you're here, that you think you're dead. But it's damn close to that. Go ahead.
Well, Divine, so on the path, are we attaining until we see through that there is no solid self here, and then there's no attainment?
You could talk about it that way. That would be a way of working with it. When we first start on the provisional, and the provisional teachings, yes, there is a progress, and some teachers really stretch this way out and will tell you all the stages of what you go through. And this is just, people might as well be eating magnets. I didn't say maggots, I said magnets. Is that how you heard it? That's probably how I said it. It's like you're eating, like you're, everything you do just collects more stuff. So just stop it. And how do you do that? You watch the way you do it, because when the awareness that is bound up with the attachment, with the pushing, pulling, passion, aggression, ignorance, love and hate, war and peace, all of the polarities, right and wrong, when that just starts to come apart, then all the consciousness that was mixed up with that grasping, rejecting, is liberated. And so there's just this, and since there's still a body here, the consciousness is still here, but there's no demand for anything. That which is still a living being doesn't care what happens next, because he, she, they know there is no next. There never has been a next. There's just this. The body, the bodies and the mind and the ears, nose, tongue, all of this rises in relative truth as an illusion and just collapses back into consciousness, and then rises again. If there's still a demand there, and it comes back again, sometimes called rebirth, which is not an occurrence. You are not coming back. I would say it in a more direct way. I would say you've never left. You can't come back to something you've never left. But that may look like a lot of coming and going. That's the illusion. More? Who was it on Was that, is it Augie or was it not? Abby, go ahead.
You say that there is no one anywhere. Is dependent origination the only thing that arises bowing?
Yes, and even that is still just more illusion that shows up in a particular way that we call dependent origination. This caused that, that caused that. There's no singularity. The idea of a singularity somewhere as some special being or person or activity, action or non-action, gets some special attention. But if you see that it is, that the subjectivity, objectivity is looked at directly as just dependently arisen, it takes all the politics out of it. It's just whatever's showing up, that's it. Whatever's going away, that's it. So again, Navid, it's, if you're looking at this, it's hard to say what it is descriptively. And every time, if you see what this is, understand what this is, perceive what this is, then if you do continue to talk, it doesn't necessarily feel like you're making any progress, having any attainment in teaching the Dharma. But you do it anyway.
Is mind dependent origination bowing?
Mind?
Yes.
In a sense, the concepts around mind, the ideas about it, and so on, but what is being pointed at with consciousness only or mind only has no status. So traditionally, no ontological status is the fancy philosophical way of talking about it. So it isn't anything. So therefore, it's not dependently arisen. If you wanted to use relative words, you could. You could press on that area and you could call it eternity. But there's no one there and there's no clock ticking. Saying, you need a pretty big clock for that. Eternity. So nothing occurs. That's why it's so difficult. It sure is convincing. You know, our emotions come and go and this happens and that happens and we have reactions and we see things on television that happened on the other side of the world that that make us cry because we see that some people are way deeper in suffering than we are. It's been said that you're free and well favored. If you're in this room or on this Zoom, then you're probably free and well favored. It doesn't mean that you're not sick or that you won't die next week. It's possible, but you're free to be here. And you're well favored enough to be able to even entertain the idea of that something that is being said here could have some import for you, could be meaningful in your life. But again, I say, don't believe it, consider it. Something to look at, consider. More, Navid?
Navid, I have one more question.
Go ahead, please.
You emphasize so much on intention. Does our intention affect how dependent origination arise?
Probably in some way. There's probably some kind of thing, but it's not important to, don't be too concerned about that. So the concern is to intend. Intend, use the vow to be with all things, the vow to save all beings, even though we don't know what that even means, because if you look deeply into what is being pointed at in the teachings of the Buddha's Dharma, there aren't any beings. It's an illusion. But we're going to do it anyway. So we're going to put others before ourselves. That's very difficult to do. More? Yes, sir. Mozaguni, did you have a question? No. I thought I saw your hand go up. No?
Yohan,
go ahead.
I came late, sorry. So when I hear the topic, no attainment, somehow I notice myself, I buy this, just the concept, and then my mind went to the other way. And then I try to figure out like either or nor either and so on. So I'm wondering, is this part of, it's just the, is this the, a part of the process on this path? Bowing.
Yes. It is.
It's, is this just a matter of returning and just sitting to see this?
So first of all, I would say yes, but that doesn't mean that the differentiation that's happening in your particular life with your children or your family or the disagreement, agreement, and all of the things that are happening in society and in the world, all those are there too. We aren't sitting on mountaintops. Even in this case, we're in a monastery, but everyone here does all kinds of other things. We interact with the community. We're trying really hard to connect with physically with this community around us. The people that live three blocks away don't even know we're here, probably. But we want to connect in that way. So it's not like we're not going to isolate and just attain enlightenment for ourselves. We're going to do the whole thing. We're going to train our minds so the idea, the passion, aggression, ignorance that is roiling around in us, train our minds so that we may never be able to see that directly for what that is, but there will probably be a lot less downloading that on your neighbor or on your partner or on your community or on someone three blocks away that came down for a yoga class. So just more, I like to say CCC, communication, cooperation, collaboration, is a very relative way of looking at it. If you communicate, which means you listen a lot, listen to, really, really listen to everyone. And I would take that back into was Michael's question about someone who's having, I think it was Michael, dementia or Alzheimer's or something like that. Just listen. And if they're not saying anything, then ask them about stuff. Engage with them. You do that with people who think they don't have dementia. Goodbye, Dr. Mark.
You're bowing.
Yeah.
And also, my second question is, how can we understand we're already good, have the basic goodness, at the same time, there's nothing to attain?
I think you just said it. That's how we do it. Just don't do it as a question. Do it as a statement.
By sitting?
Yeah, I want to sit still quite a bit. Basic goodness is, I think you just used that phrase, didn't you? You say basic goodness. Yeah. It's all, yes, it's already the case. I don't care if you're in the middle of a depression. It's not some special state of mind. It is this, as it is, right now, this. And a right now refers to that ancient system of thing we call time. There is no such thing, but we may need to use that because the world uses that. Look closely. What is
Thank
this?
You.
What is this little thing that goes around in circles? What is that that's going to happen tomorrow, the total eclipse? It just means that it's midnight again. Oh. Is that my being dismissive of it? No, I'm just saying that it's not that important. What is important? You find out what's important is what shows up in your mind stream that you neither accept it, reject it, or ignore it. Just look at it. Just receive it. It may come through your nostrils more than it comes through your eyes. It may come through all the sense fields, including the mind. You can do it, Yuhong.
Yeah, Yuhong Baoying. I have one more question. When you mentioned that, you know, sleeping and what is important, how can I see that, you know, like a daily function, no matter my role is, how can I see that's also not separate from just sitting? I feel like when I sit, I know that I'm sitting. I know that at least I'm meditating, but off the cushion, I feel like I'm just living my life.
So you've actually left your life to have that conclusion. And so there's the boundary between meditation and everyday life or non-meditation, that just comes apart. The whole boundary that everybody starts out with, now I'm meditating and now I'm not meditating. Meditation, post-meditation, meditation. You also can't go the other way and say, I'm always meditating. Everything I do is meditation. Some kind of conclusion about what a great meditator you are, which I don't feel like you're doing that. But there isn't the kind of difference there is between meditating and not meditating is actually different than the one the ego mind will use to continue to keep its own boots on the ground. At some point, you will see by watching those boots on the ground of the ego, you'll see that they're not real. They're insubstantial. They have no support other than the illusion we believe in. Don't disbelieve it. That gives it another kind of support. And also don't ignore it, which is, of course, another support. You can do that.
Thank you. Bye.
So I think we can close. Thank you so much for your questions.
Hi, my name is Shoka. I'm a monk at Sokokoji, where I'm committed to training my mind under the guidance of my teacher, Sokozan. We rely on your support for our programming, including a scholarship fund to cover living and tuition costs for those who are practicing full-time at the monastery. Thank you for your generosity.